the FBI is listening, this is entirely hyperbolic. Should I get a tattoo?
Do you want one?
Sort of.
Then yes.
Let's see how extreme we can get.
Baboo.
Let's see how far we can go.
Beth and Bob,
uncensored. Yeah. So you're saying I should not give up gluten?
But hey, I never begrudge anybody their hustle.
The fuck that I do not give is so large that if I actually gave it, I would have to hire somebody to move it to where I gave it to.
If I'd have had a freeze cat on me, they would have caught it square in the fucking mush.
Where's your mother? Fall down dead in my dirty mouth, pretty little head. I wish you were here. I wish you'd make my bed in my dirty mouth, pretty little head.
Hello, fellow dirty minds. Welcome back, Frank, to episode 20 of Babu Radio, Beth and Bob Uncensored on CosmicBroadcasting.com. I am your co-host, Cabby Bob, and I could teach you, but I'd have to charge. And it's my pleasure to introduce to you once again, now I'm all confused, the Andre to my big boy. That was in honor of our guest. Nice. Elizabeth Clements Mosley. Beth, how are you doing this week?
I see a bunch of boys in the yard.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's about you then?
Oh, yeah, obviously. I mean, isn't that clear?
Well, yeah, because of the mirror, I know that. And, you know, here's the thing about the fucking mirror that I figured out really bothers me is, you know how each mirror is different, and some make you look taller and thinner, and some make you look wider. My fear is that's the one that's right. That's the thing. That's the thing about it. It haunts me.
Mm. Haunting.
Well, yeah, because honestly, that mirror makes me look as if I could haunt a bog, you see.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, isn't there some sort of, like, international standard for mirrors or something? I mean, could you get, like, a plane or something and, like, measure it?
I don't think so. Get a protractor out?
Or no? Nothing? Not, like, a standard mirror they keep somewhere in the Louvre or something in Paris?
Like Greenwich Mean Mirror?
Yeah.
Greenwich Mean Mirror.
Yes, that one's mean. That's a fucking mean mirror. So anyway, that's the thing. I'm afraid that's the one. God, if that's the one, I don't know what I'm going to do. Hmm. I'm going to have to make Dylan have sex with me, like, by putting a bag over my head with a picture of Justin Bieber taped to the back or something.
I don't even know where to go.
Yeah. Thanks for coming. We'll talk to you next week.
Got dark.
Okay. So bye, Frank. It's been good seeing you this week.
And those velvet tones that you hear there between us are
forcing its way in there.
Our guest again this week. He's coming back again because he's so wonderful. John Margheim,
the hipster
is with
king
us.
Of Colorado Springs.
Yes,
the
indeed.
Hipster king of the nerds.
Hey, Frank, I'm back.
Yeah, so suck on that.
Yeah, deal with it. Put that in your pipe.
Len, your tamales?
Frank smokes a pipe, I'm pretty sure.
Ooh, cool. Like I got some tamales,
pipe
too.
Man.
Oh, that's nice. Len also brought me tamales.
Look at that. Christmas.
It's a gift of the Magi hot tamale situation. That was nice.
Yeah, it was nice, the tamale exchange, because that means esteem in our language.
That's right.
Yes.
I'm learning all these new things about life and the world.
Yeah.
Yes, hot tamales.
That's what we do.
The currency of friendship.
That's love language right there.
That's right.
My love language is
hot tamales.
I speak the international language, hot tamales.
Yep, just says I love you.
It does.
Mm-hmm.
I can feel that. Even though I don't speak hot tamale. I knew it was true.
It's a beautiful language.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Love gets stuck between my teeth a lot, so I'm not super into love, but get a little bit of love stuck back in there, and you're like, oh, man.
More love for me.
Right behind a molar. It's not where you want to be with your love.
No.
Speak for yourself.
I only can.
Okay. Great.
So what's new this week, Beth? Anything?
You know, we got robbed at the place that I work.
Uh-huh.
No guns or anything, but they walked out with stuff and seemed like they'd been casing the place for a while because they knew the ins and outs of a fairly convoluted building, and that was upsetting. It was upsetting.
Hmm.
Didn't like it.
They just stole some pieces, or...
Well, yeah, and they almost stole, like, a really expensive, like, $13,000 piece.
Hmm.
They got it partway out the building. Yeah,
upsetting. Were they apprehended?
They were not apprehended. It was very strange. They went down into the basement area and just walked through where people were like they owned the place and picked up stuff and just walked out and kept walking. And then later we discovered that they had removed the big piece from its moorings and put it someplace out back where they were going to come back and get it later. So.
How big is the big piece?
Well, it's a large piece. I mean, it's big money.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was large enough that they took some paint off the walls trying to get it off, is weird. I mean, it was weird because there were people there. And so it just freaked us out. And as I was saying off the air, we went and my husband happened to be next door, and so he followed the person that was following the person. And you know, tried to find the house that they went into, and then when the cops all gathered around, they were going to knock on the doors. And my husband, Dylan, actually said to one of the cops, "Try not to shoot any dogs," which was really fucking great. I was like, ah, that is why I married my husband.
Mm-hmm. That's good advice.
Mm-hmm. That's not taken very often, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is how, I mean, that kind of is kind of a good example of that people don't really pay attention most of the time. We're just kind of on autopilot for the most part.
Mm-hmm. And it's also a good example of, like, if you walk around like you're supposed to be somewhere, mm-hmm. people assume you are.
Oh, totally.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So that was what happened.
All right, John. How you? What you been up to this week?
Well, a whole lot of nothing. I'm on vacation this week, so I've just been binge watching television, which I haven't done in forever. Mm. TV's really great. I don't know if you've got that memo.
I've heard of it.
There's some good TV shows
are
on
there?
The TV. Yeah, they're like, you know, you watch something for like a half hour or an hour and it tells the story, and the stories are really good.
Are they?
Huh. Yeah.
Some of the ones I've seen are bad.
Is there bad TV?
Oh yeah.
I hadn't realized that. I just again, I'm just like discovering it all over again.
Mm. What have you gotten through thus far?
Thus far, I finished off the Boardwalk Empire and watched the first episode of the new season. That's really good. I binge watched all of that. Have you seen Silicon Valley on HBO?
No, I have not. I've heard much about it.
I have a gigantic man crush on Kumail Nanjiani.
Well, yeah, me too.
Oh, he's the best. Mm-hmm. And then I was watching a lot of that Meltdown show with Jonah and mm-hmm. Kumail. And it's beautiful.
Yeah, I haven't seen that yet either.
Both really good. Highly recommended.
In forever.
Yeah, well, see, and that's normally how my life is, because I, you know, work and then go do all one of my several activities at night and then get home and maybe have time to get a half hour or something in.
Right.
So.
We've been watching that Leftovers TV show.
I've been curious about mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. That's in the possible queue. Is it good? Do you like it?
I think it is good.
It's a very intriguing premise.
It's based on a book, and it's about, like, just society as if on October 14th of, I think, 2012, maybe?
20-something.
Yeah.
I haven't watched this, or in the future, kind of.
A certain percentage of the world's population just simply disappeared. Like, maybe rapture, but they don't know if it's rapture. They don't say it's rapture.
Hmm.
Might not be rapture. Like, babies right out of their car seats, or in the last episode, a woman was looking at her pregnancy ultrasound, and then she looked again, and it was empty.
Oh.
Yeah, that was crazy.
That'll do it.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So is this like somebody tried to get the rights to the Left Behind books, and then they couldn't, so they just said, well, we'll just make our own? Is it kind of like
no.
that?
No.
I mean, it sounds like a similar premise.
It is, but it's by a real writer.
No, I get that, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's another book.
It doesn't.
Mm-hmm. I don't believe it has an actual religious premise or anything like that.
No, not that I'm aware of.
Yeah, he's a creative writing teacher, I think, professor.
Oh, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I will have to add that to the list.
Sure. I have an ever-growing list of things that I'll probably never see.
Right, no, totally.
I know, me too.
There's some movies that have come out that I want to see. I just won't ever do it.
Like what?
I don't know. I can't even remember them right now.
Yeah, there's a whole... You're right. I see things like previews and think, oh, yeah, I got to see that. And mm-hmm. then I never remember what they are again.
Well, and as you know, I listen to thousands of hours of podcasts, and they're always... Somebody's always on plugging their latest project, whatever. And I'm like, that sounds kind of interesting. I like that person. Maybe I'll check that out.
And then you don't.
No, I won't.
No.
I do not have the time.
There's only so many hours in the day.
Bob's right. a busy cabbie, man.
Super busy cabbie.
I'm not a very busy cabbie, but I'm busy.
Busy human being.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm not very busy as a cabbie lately.
Hmm.
I'm many, many hundreds of dollars behind.
Mm.
Why do you think that is? Is this like a slow season for you as a cab driver?
It's a slow season. I'm lazy.
I have a similar problem.
It's been hot.
Yeah.
Bob hates the heat.
I haven't felt quite right the last few days. I still don't feel quite right. I have my ears kind of feel like they need to pop. You know that feeling?
Oh, yeah.
But it's not that. And I don't have any like congestion or anything, but I have a weird inner ear pressure weirdness, and I feel kind of dizzy, woozy, kind of.
Oh, that's not good.
That sounds no good.
Yeah. I think it's a hangover.
Like a week-long hangover.
Yeah. Well, it's been since Monday.
Oh, well, yeah.
I didn't eat a whole lot, and then I drank more than
that'll do
I
it.
Ate.
If you go, yeah. Sometimes when I go super hard like that, it's 2 or 3 days.
Yeah.
Lots and lots of water.
Yeah.
Before I just feel like a human being again.
The last time I had this kind of strangeness in my ears was when I tried to overdose on MDMA. Is that the right order of letters?
Yes.
Yes, you tried to overdose?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I wanted to die.
Okay.
Isn't that usually why you try to overdose?
That makes sense.
Well, I didn't know if why you chose that was really my question.
It was there.
Oh, I see.
There was a huge water bottle full of it.
And you drank all of it?
No. I didn't quite drink all of it. I took the... there was a huge... This was when I was on the run in California.
Mm.
And so the guy that I just kind of ended up bumming around with had a big bottle of this stuff in his car, and you know, you'd take a little capful and it'd make you feel good.
Mm-hmm.
And so he had a whole big like 1 liter water bottle of it, and I just turned it up and took about 3 big pulls off of it.
Wow.
And yeah, it wasn't good.
No.
No, that was a few days.
I can imagine.
Yeah, I don't recommend it.
Never done any of those drugs.
Me neither.
Mm-hmm.
Which one is MDMA?
That's the date rape drug.
Oh.
No, that's... Because that's like Ruhibna. MDMA is like ecstasy.
Oh, no,
Molly,
yeah. See, I knew
like
I was. I knew I had the wrong one in my head.
Okay.
There's another one. It's got
GHB
M's in it.
GHB is what you're thinking.
GHB.
GHB.
That's okay. It.
Oh, you took GHB?
Yes.
Well, that's different.
Many loads of
it. That's why I was kind of confused.
Well, no, yeah,
like,
I'm getting a lot of letters jumbled around.
Yeah. Well, it's one of those letters.
We were listening to Jordan Jesse Go, and they were talking about Molly. So
Oh, yeah.
Oh, shit, man. We heard the glass shark last week. That was
the glass shark is always lovely.
Yes. Yes, and this has been Podcast Roundup.
I was
going
to say, the weird podcast reference segment of the show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Jordan, Jesse Go, my brother and me. Those are good.
Mm-hmm. All fine programs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, look them up. When you're done, here, Frank.
Yeah, so you don't have to correct us. I had the wrong drug in my brain. It was GHB, not MDMA.
I told him it's the instant Twitter.
Not MMA.
Not MMA, not WWE.
Nah, not that.
No.
So what else is up, Bob?
Well, Bob, I would say this. I mean, especially in the situation that you were in, it could be worse. You could be either Ray Rice, who's been all over the news,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
or you could be NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell, who is now all over the news.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
What did he do?
One lost his job. The other one I got a feelings about. I'm sure you've heard about the Ray mm-hmm. Rice domestic mm-hmm. violence case and the secondary tape that came out. Well, Roger Goodell, being the powerful commissioner of the NFL, when asked, hey, did you have the whole tape? He said, no, we never saw the whole tape. Just confirmed, courtesy of ESPN.com, a police officer from that department told the Associated Press he didn't have to request it. We sent it to him 3 months ago.
I figured that was
so. Roger Goodell and the rest of the hierarchy of the NFL already saw the tape. They already knew it. So my conspiracy theory about it is, TMZ called them and said, we know you have the whole tape. You haven't shown the whole thing. Give us X amount of dollars or that tape goes public. Oh, well, I click. Breaking news, breaking news, breaking news.
Wow.
Roger Goodell's going to, if he doesn't lose his job, this spotlight just got hotter for him.
Oh, yeah.
Whole lot hotter.
Well, you're not supposed to do that. What a corrupt entity that seems to be.
Well, it's like any other sort of big money-making organization. I mean, you have something blow up like that, and then it's like, well, let's just, we've got all this other stuff going on.
You go into spin control.
Yeah, and so you just sort of sweep it under the rug and hope nobody actually has the tape that's in the media.
Well, hasn't anybody realized yet that the best outcomes are always the people who go, okay, here's what happened, and here's what we're going to do about it?
Which is the equivalent of TMZ. We all kind of laughed at TMZ when it first came around, like, oh, it's paparazzi. Mm-hmm. Now they're like, now when it comes to sports, they're the most reliable entity out there.
Oh, yeah, crazy, right?
What's this take? Ooh, he did hit her. Wow.
Yep. You know? Yeah.
Yep.
It's, well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's as my friend would say, shit is about to go down.
Oh, for real.
It's going to get bad.
Well, and they're in the middle of all those negotiations with the Players Association and stuff like that, too, mm-hmm. for all kinds of different regulations and mm-hmm. suspensions. I'm on that because I'm a fantasy football team right now.
Right.
Because free Josh Gordon.
I was going to say, you drafted Josh Gordon.
Yeah, I picked him up. You know, I was like, I got a good feeling about things. Granted, I picked him up off the waiver wire.
Yeah, you know.
You know, I was like, I'm dropping a 16th pick, a 15th pick.
Yeah.
Picking up this guy in the off chance.
Take a flyer.
Yes.
Was your squadron successful in week one?
Yes, we defeated, well, both of my parties of brave adventuring football men defeated the dragons of the other team's football men.
Excellent.
We scored all the points.
Good.
And made a good football game.
Your adventurers sportsed harder.
Yes.
Good then.
Yes. I have famed barbarian LeSean McCoy, but Marshawn Lynch was the true hero of the day.
Yeah.
Brandishing his mighty sword of football to score all the touchdowns.
Hoorays!
Also, Julius Thomas, paladin of my heart.
Oh yeah, that was a good call.
Shout out to JT, Shady, and Skittles.
Good old Skittles.
they all helped you out. But yeah, going back to Roger Goodell, the National Organization of Women has called for his head. They're like, you need to resign, dude.
Oh wow,
you need to get out of here.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think this is it for him. Like, you know, you might see him hang on for, like 2-3 more weeks, and then...
It's one of those where, and I'm not sure if you guys have ever been in that situation, but I've been in it one time too many. Hey, Len, come in the office, man. You go sit down. What's up, boss? This is bad. This is really bad. Your options are either you step down, or we fire you.
Mm-hmm.
There's no other option. Nope. Either you step down and you walk away.
Mm-hmm.
We let you go. Walk away. Scot-free.
Who's that guy, though?
It has to come from the board of directors for the NFL.
Well, and that's what I... Because it's... I mean, it functions like a corporation in terms of he's the CEO.
He's the CEO. Yeah, he's the CEO, but so there's a board of directors.
Yeah, so okay. He'd be answerable to the board.
So it's kind of like Roger Goodell getting the same treatment that Ray Rice got from Roger Goodell when he went to his office.
Mm.
Hey, Ray, this is bad. Mm. Tell you what, you do the diversionary class, they drop the charges, we suspend you for 2 games, we wait till this blows over. All right, yeah, no problem, I'll do it. And then as soon as the other side of the tape hit, we got to suspend you indefinitely, dude.
Yeah, you're done.
What? Wait, hey, you can't do that to me. We're the NFL, we can do whatever the hell we want. Get out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Which just gives him more time to beat his wife.
Is that... okay. And I'll ask you this: Is it now that we've gone this far? Is it him, or is it the wife staying? Not only staying, but defending him and the family, or is it a combination of both?
I think that asking. I don't believe that blaming a victim for choices is ever a very good idea.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that you should be hitting women, and I don't. So, there are people who want to. I think it's very difficult for people to disengage, and so she's like trying to save her paradigm, and maybe she doesn't want her children to be without. But you know, I mean, when we blame people like you know Hillary Clinton or whatever for like, why didn't you leave? Why did you? You have no idea why somebody stays in a marriage, but
sure.
I mean, the buck stops at the person who's decided to smash their fist into somebody else's face. Like, there is no shared blame for that. Mm-hmm. There is a point, I have had friends who have been in that situation, and there is a point where you go, like, okay, I'm kind of mad at you about this, but the flip side to that is that you can't really require people to make choices that you think are better for them in order for you to... You can stop throwing good energy after bad as far as, like, I might not continue to...
Yeah.
Treat this like a crisis and invest everything that I have, but just to say, well, like, I'm not going to be your friend anymore or help you because of this is also, I think, unfair. I mean, you can't really, I think making people take your advice or disengaging is always a really kind of shitty way to go about things. So I think that sharing blame is just inappropriate in any situation like that. It just is.
It's not black and white. To her. I mean, everybody from the outside looking in, it's,
oh, definitely.
He hits you. Leave. You don't know what she's been through.
You exactly. don't know what she's been through, and you have no idea what is at stake for her. You don't know what their private conversations are like. You don't know if he's done it before. There's also this kind of thing that, there's this weird psychology that happens with people when their lover hits them, especially if it's male and female, and somehow what that is that the man suddenly seems like this sad little boy, and he's always really sorry, and it seems like it's just this thing that got the better of him, and there's this weird maternal thing that happens where you start feeling like you need to protect him from it, and he just needs to get through it, and only you can see how sorry he was. And there's also this weird thing where sometimes that's the... I know I have seen women who have been in situations where that's really the only time that their relationship is passionate, is like when... the rest of the time he's kind of disengaged and he's a dick. And then he hits her, and for several weeks he's like pulling her hair, you know, and holding her face and gazing into her eyes and fucking, you know, I mean, all of this crazy stuff that is all she ever wanted, but he has to do this other thing first. And there's also something to be said for, you know, everybody's been through this to some degree or another in a love relationship that's gone wrong, which is that... In a world where your lover has hurt you, the only thing that can make you feel better is that, is him or her. You know, I mean, it's like when somebody dies or, you know, I mean, like you can go out with all of your friends, you can, you know, pick a hobby, whatever, but the thing that is going to shut off the pain and make it all okay is that person coming back. And so, you know, sure, we think she should leave, but... We don't really know why she hasn't. Maybe she just needs to get the strength. Maybe she doesn't know exactly what she wants to do. Maybe, you know, there's just a whole bunch of stuff. The fucking one thing that we know is reprehensible that you shouldn't do ever is fucking hit somebody.
Right, right. And I think as of right now, aside of everything else going on, question number three out of like the five biggest questions coming out of this thing is, what's she doing? It's not necessarily a matter of, is she going to leave? Is this, that? We want to know what's on her mind. What is she thinking? And her first strike was to the media and saying, you guys ruined our lives. I'm going, okay, not sure where that came from, but at least you spoke. Mm-hmm. You said something. We know at least a little bit of what's going on in your mind. But this this whole thing is, it started a huge deal. It's literally started a huge deal. And I actually came in on Monday and I was recording and one of the things I said was, attention all current and former NFL players. Some of y'all ain't got no backup fronting. You are, and while you are throwing stones at Ray Rice, you are pumping These Hoes Ain't Loyal by Chris Brown in your Jeep, in your iPod, or whatever, and you still running around calling girls bitches and hoes and smacking them up and indirectly teaching your kids that as long as you got money, women are expendable. It's, kind of, you gotta pick one side or another, because one of your good friends, a member of your brethren, got caught.
Yep.
And that could have easily been you. Mm-hmm. That could easily been you served up on a silver platter for everybody else's sin. Get your life, get your life right before you have to kick those rocks that you threw at somebody while you're trying to sell me a car at a car dealership while I'm looking at you going, weren't you in the NFL?
Yep.
It's going to come down to that.
Well, and you know, here's the thing. I mean, like, she's still alive. She wasn't disfigured. There's all these things, like, she shouldn't have been hit. But, you know, Michael Vick electrocuted dogs. I mean, he hung dogs and did all this kind of shit because he was using them for sport. And people are still wanting to watch that asshole play football, and I really can't understand that at all. So I don't know why we accept the kind of behavior we do. That's part of what I don't like about football, is the culture of football. Like, fuck whatever that person did as long as they keep entertaining me. Like, there's something really sociopathic about that.
Well, that's like everything. You could talk, yeah. About like film,
yes,
or
sure. Yeah.
Television or actors or any of that kind of stuff. Like, if you're famous for doing something, then we cut you a little leeway because
mm-hmm.
We like what you do or whatever. So, yeah, I don't know.
Well, it's also, I don't know. I mean, that's their job. It's in the public spotlight. Like a guy that works at a factory, and gets arrested on domestic violence charges, they don't necessarily lose their job either.
Yeah, that's true.
It's the thing.
Yeah.
Well, sure. I wonder if enough people. I mean, it depends on whether or not that gets on YouTube too, though. I mean, like.
Well, it wouldn't.
Right, that's
what I'm
my
saying.
Point.
It happens 100,000 times more just with everyday people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know.
Yeah, more times than people care to admit.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
And you could argue that we're actually a little bit more severe on people that are in the public eye that it happens to, because.
Well, because they represent all the people we didn't catch.
Right. Well, that guy spends 3 weeks in jail and then he goes to a class and he goes back to work. You know.
Well, what I mean about YouTube is like when an average citizen happens to have something that they do go viral, then the same public does usually mm-hmm. try to ask for some kind of recourse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then they do want that guy to lose his job at the paper factory, you know. I mean, I usually do.
Yeah,
no, that's a good point, and especially, and if you take that example that you gave, and you multiply it times 10, that's the realm of a public figure, whether it be an athlete, whether it be an actor, whatever the case may be. Like I said, Ray Rice was caught on video hitting his fiance. Now the National Organization of Women wants him out. You know, now the LGBT community is going to speak out. They want him out. The NFL has already kicked him out,
mm-hmm.
but now the NFL is going to have some questions to answer because they said they never saw the tape. Meanwhile, they just got it three months ago, and there's a 12 second voicemail proving it.
Yep.
No. Yeah.
Whoops.
Well, this is the age of the ethical corporation, and by that I don't mean that many corporations are ethical, but that the public consciousness has shifted towards. It used to be that we didn't care what corporations did as long as they gave us the product that we wanted. But in the last 15 or 20 years, we've really come to sort of, I mean, that's a big marketing point, is we care about our impact in the world. We care about whether we're helping. We care about whether we do more good than damage. And people tend to reward those corporations with more of their money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I have a choice between a corporation that donates some of its money to charity or cares about the, you know, deforestation or something like that, I'm always going to give my money to the one that seems like it has a conscience. And so when the flip side to that, obviously, is that in a world in which you are getting entities to conform to an ethos, you take for granted that some of them aren't going to do that because they think it's right and they want to be good. It's because you have pressured them in some way in order to make the overall fabric of the world better.
Right.
Like, we'll just take money from you until you do it the good way. And so I see the NFL as, I mean, I'm glad to see that that's kind of happening a little bit, because I do think in sports, especially, football is very brutish, and I think that not everyone who watches football is a brute, but there is this pervasive mentality that's in it. It's all about strong people and contempt for the weak and homophobia and things like that. Not everybody is like that, but there is this flavor about it that that gets out into the world. And
I think that's changing too, though.
Well, I do. That's, I think, yeah. Yes. I mean, I know a lot of very smart, conscientious people who like to watch football, but I also know that when I see people at games, they're often behaving very boorishly, like much more boorishly than people at, say, the theater. You know.
Well, yeah, it's
a whole context.
Yeah, that's
thing
a different
too.
Sure.
Experience. That's yeah. That's the whole. It, like I said last week, sporting events take the place of battles.
No, yeah.
We don't go to a gladiator arena and watch people kill each other. Literally.
Mm-hmm.
We just. Or quickly, I should say. We just watch them do it slowly.
Yeah, like brain and, injury.
Yeah, exactly. It gets that same community bloodlust energy out.
Is that good or bad?
I think I'd rather have it out in a stadium than on the street.
So there's just no way not to do it. We're just acknowledging that we have bloodlust and we need to see creatures kill each other.
Do.
Really?
We absolutely do.
I'm thinking Romans, slaves, yeah. Lions.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah, but I mean, are we saying we're the same now?
Yes, we are essentially.
I don't think the mentality's ever changed. It's just how it's been portrayed.
It's what you do with that energy. It's how you focus it. It's what you put it into. Hmm. We're not. I mean, we haven't been around for that long as a species.
No.
We still have that.
Ancient Greek.
We're gonna have it for a long time.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of being able to understand it and focus it more in ways that are not, you know, harmful to each other.
Well, maybe that's what I don't like about it. That seems so disheartening. That just, like, there's this horrible, cruel streak that we can't get rid of, and so we have to find a way.
I don't think it's cruel. I just...
Really?
I mean...
I don't think the intent is cruel, but there's always the one thing that at least from my notification, men will always be competitive. Women are getting to that point, but it always kind of started off as men will always be competitive because you always have that phrase that needs to be exercised. I am better than you, and I can prove it.
Mm-hmm.
Ancient Greeks wrestled naked,
yeah,
and ran and threw things just to prove who was better. So mm-hmm. It's not necessarily. I don't think the intent started off as being cruel, but there's always that thing of I am better than you, mm-hmm. and I can prove it.
Yeah, and it's the us and them. It's the us versus them thing that we all have, it's in our makeup. We're wired that way. That's how we've gotten to this point, is because groups say we need to stick together. We're better than them, so we need to survive. That's how we expanded as a species. That's how we got to where we are.
Okay, but, I mean, baseball doesn't seem so violent, and still people are able to sure. show their superlativity, but...
Yeah, but you still go out and you yell and scream, and somebody makes a bad play, or you boo them, and, you
yeah,
know...
But do they have as many fights at baseball games?
Like, actual fist fights? Yeah, more than football. I mean,
really?
I would say so. I mean, I feel like at least once a week I hear about somebody rushing the mound.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not quite hockey, but it's
right.
Right.
Really, I mean, I didn't know that.
I mean, you have those in baseball, but I think you point those out and you see those in baseball. You see those in baseball and you focus on that in baseball more because the makeup of the game doesn't require physical contact with somebody else versus football. It's every play,
it's every time.
You know, hockey every play every time. So when you do see it in baseball and you see a brushback pitch right under your chin and you see the guy walking out going, hey, what the hell, man?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden he rushes the mound and it's like, hey, went to a baseball game and a fight broke out. Nice.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Hmm. Actually, there were... this is still the best baseball game I've ever been to in my entire life was at Coors Field. This was probably... this had to be like... 17 or 18 years ago, maybe 16, something like that. I went with my roommate who I worked with, and the Braves were in town, and growing up in Atlanta, I was a Braves fan. So we just happened to get seats next to each other, but we were across the aisle from each other. So we were like, okay, this is going to be fun. So I had my Braves jersey on. He had a Rockies jersey on. And so we were just talking shit to each other across the aisle the whole time. And everybody around us thought they didn't see us, that we came in together. They just saw us talking shit and yelling at each other. They're like, these guys are going to fucking fight. And we were just laughing the whole time because we were just having fun, you know, going back and forth. But the game went 14 innings.
Ooh.
There was a fight. It was Andres Galarraga's first game in Coors Field, not as a Rocky.
Oh,
when he left and went to the Braves, and this was his first game back at Coors Field. He started the fight. The game went 14 innings. The backup catcher for the Braves got the win because he was on the mound in the 14th when they pulled it out and finished it. And yeah, it was fantastic. I couldn't talk for like 3 days after that. It was so much fun. And there was a fight. That was one of the things that made it fun.
Hmm.
And you know, I'm like the step beyond a pacifist.
Well, no, yeah, you're not a brute at
same
all.
Like here.
But, yeah, yeah.
Like, but there is something.
Please don't hit me. I'll suck your dick. Please. Please don't hit me. You know, to that level.
There. Was recorded.
So. But yeah, I mean, it's those same impulses. And I think it's even. I think even like American Idol and America's Got Talent and The Gong Show.
Do they have fights?
No, they don't have fights, but I think it's those same impulses.
I think it's cruel.
You pick a side and you pick a side and you yell about what side you're on and you. I think it's the same thing.
Psychological gladiatorial games.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Showtime at the Apollo. The very minute you hit a bad note.
Yep.
It's
that same impulse. We want to see one person do well at somebody else's expense.
Oh.
Well, and I think we just want to also just see people. We want to sort of live vicariously through the people who succeed greatly and then sort of feel better about ourselves by people who fail miserably.
Right.
I mean, I think that's everything that we do in entertainment, like, period. Like, whether it be stories or movies or sports or...
Mm-hmm.
Excellent example of that, of what you said, is in WWE.
Oh, totally. And I love that.
During the Attitude Era when you had Stone Cold Steve Austin, who was anti-establishment, versus Vince McMahon, who was all about the corporation money. And they clashed every week, and there were times where I came home to turn on Raw just to see that.
Oh, totally.
Because my boss pissed me off so bad, and so bad I wanted to hit him or whatever, and you see Stone Cold go out there and do anything, you're like, man, I wish I could douse him in beer. Just for the hell of it.
Totally. You know?
And that's a perfect example of the impulse that I'm talking about. Why is that huge? Why is wrestling huge when everybody knows it's scripted, it's a story, we know who's going to win the fight? Why is that huge? Because it's that gladiator thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Whatever the AL word version of that is. I'm real smart guy.
Gladiatorial.
It's that same thing. We want to pick a side, and we want to see our side win. We want us to beat them.
I don't like that.
Well,
I can understand that, but I think that's also what's...
I don't like the fact that I have feet.
That's
but
how
there
it
is.
Don't like you don't like that you have feet? What?
No, I was just picking an example that's...
Oh, that doesn't make any sense.
Also as...
No, I mean, I see that there's no way to avoid it. Mm-hmm. I just don't like it. It depresses me. And I'm not trying to say I'm better or anything. I just don't think I'm exactly wired that way.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, obviously, I must be.
I mean, we all are a little bit. It just depends
where
that area of your competitiveness lies. Because, Lord, I've heard you talk some mess in terms of acting. Like,
yeah, it's true.
I mean,
you're allowed to say something other than mess, by the way.
Oh, no, I know. I just like saying mess, too.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, yes, I have spoken.
Shit. Talk some shit.
I have spoken the messes.
I'm not saying that there's nobody that isn't like that. I know a lot of people that are not like that at all. And on my best days, I don't feel like I'm like that, but I also don't deny that, Yeah, I go to a hockey game and pound on the glass and cheer when somebody on my team just about takes somebody's fucking head off, and jump up and scream at the guy on the other team when he does the same thing. I mean, it's just a primal thing. That,
totally.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. Okay.
But I don't mean to say that no everybody is like that to the same degree, and there aren't people that aren't like that. But as a species,
okay, yeah.
In general, yes.
Yeah, I just don't find it entertaining. But I assume there is some aspect of that somewhere that I do find entertaining. I just can't think of what it is.
Well, and I mean, and I've thought about it because, you know, I used to do a lot of hallucinogens. I did a lot of hallucinogens.
It's the hallucinogens.
So I thought about everything that goes on in my brain a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's what I like. I'm a pretty quiet person in my everyday life.
Yes.
And so I really like going to the hockey rink or going to the ballpark and just screaming my head off at somebody.
Mm.
Feels good.
Catharsis.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yes, I've been there, and I learned about putting peanuts in beer, and that also sometimes tastes nice.
Mm-hmm.
I just learned something new today.
Mm-hmm. Dylan taught me that.
That's interesting.
If you take salted peanuts and fill your beer with them,
mm-hmm.
it tastes nice.
Hmm.
Isn't that strange?
It is. Don't
try that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought everyone knew about it but me.
No. Two more today.
Okay. Well, you just put a bunch of salted peanuts with the shells on. You just dump them into your like crappy water beer that you get at the ballpark, and then it tastes nice.
Yeah. You wouldn't do it with a craft beer or something.
Oh, no. But
yeah,
I was sort of
ballpark
shocked
beer,
by that.
Yeah.
We were given free tickets for some reason, and so Dylan and I attended the sportsing event at the ballpark.
Mm-hmm.
And we...
Was the Nuggets?
Some sort of... No, they were peanuts.
Ah.
they had ice cream nuggets. I think they had
Dippin' Dots.
Yes.
Oh, I don't like that.
No, they didn't. Those aren't nice. And then Dylan dumped my peanuts in my beer, and I thought he was being mean to me. But then he made the taste.
I can actually hear the sentence that came out of your mouth as soon as you did that. What are you doing? Why would you do that? What are you doing?
And then it was all tasted. It's good in that way that he does with his eyebrows up. That, mm-hmm. Like, he said and nodded. And so then and then I had it, and it was good. And I did not feel any impulse of shouting at the sportsters.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed browsing the snack section of the of the event.
Snack browsing is good.
Snack browsing. And then eventually we stopped focusing at all on the game and left before it was over because there were no more snacks.
That happens quite a bit in baseball games. Well, baseball's a long game.
Really long game.
If you're not if you're not a follower of the game and the developing situations and what's happening, it's a slog.
Mm-hmm.
It is a slog.
You know, here's an interesting baseball fact that I found interesting. I did not realize this, but during the days of coal mining...
Mm-hmm. Now, why would you know this?
Well, I've been fascinated by that for a long time, but I did not know that baseball was one of the things that the coal mining camps used to keep active and to keep entertained.
Mm-hmm.
And that they actually would hire ringers. So there were people that worked in the coal mines specifically because they were really good baseball players, and they got like the jobs where they weren't going to be smashed by mining cars. And
Simpsons did it.
Things like, really?
Yeah, they had the baseball, the softball team from the nuclear plant.
Ah.
They hired a bunch of ringers.
Yeah,
they had major league players doing the voices.
Oh, cool. Yeah, that's real.
They had Wade Boggs and Daryl Strawberry and I can't remember who else.
These are prominent sportsters?
These are prominent sportsters, yeah.
Yes.
And Mr. Burns kept telling, I think it was Wade Boggs, to shave his sideburns off.
Hmm.
And he didn't have sideburns, and so he just kept cutting his hair further and further up onto his head.
Hmm.
I've not seen that one.
You haven't seen that one?
No.
That's way back in the, like, I want to say, like, season 5, 6, that era, when they were really, really good?
I've seen maybe a dozen episodes of The Simpsons.
Really?
Wow.
See, that surprises me a little bit.
Yeah, I guess it's part of that hipster king thing. Like, by the time everybody's like, oh, Simpsons, super great, I felt like a bandwagon jumper.
Ah, I see.
And there's just so many that it's a daunting task to even try and, like...
It is.
This is why John is a hipster, because he simply cannot participate in things that seem like they might be cool to other people, even at his own expense.
Yeah, no. It's like, who was I talking to the other night about that, like True Detective and stuff like that? Because I had friends like begging me to watch it, and I'm like, fuck that.
It's really good, dude.
But no, and then I watched it, and I was like, okay, everybody's right. Okay, yeah. Same with Breaking Bad and stuff like that. But I had like this like pent up resentment. Like, I still have resentment towards Breaking Bad because so many people are like, why haven't you watched it yet? What's wrong with you? It's the best.
I have a little bit of that. I have a little bit of that when CeeLo got on The Voice kind of blew up, and I was like, man, I was listening to him and Goody Mob. You guys suck.
I guess maybe I just assume that if I'm doing it, it must be cool.
Well, and lately I have the kind of the opposite of that. Like, I won't hear about something before it's cool, and then I won't engage with it when it is cool. But then once everybody stops talking about it, I'm like, have you seen this thing? And everybody's like, yeah, that was like 4 years ago, you jackass.
Yeah.
I just saw it. It's great. Yeah.
Yeah, we came late to the Breaking Bad bandwagon, and also weirdly timed, without knowing that we were doing this, we gave in and started with Game of Thrones. And then we binge-watched like four seasons and then finished exactly before the new season began, like just a few days. So it was really interesting that we managed to time it so that we were on time for the new season and then watched that. But I do hate, you know, we've spoken about this before, I just detest when I really have to wait a whole week to find out what's going to happen the next time. The leftovers. So I try to sublimate that by not watching it the day that it comes out anyway, and then sort of like catching up to it on Thursday or something like that.
2 or 3 hours in at a time or something.
Yeah.
Also, because I'll store them up for a while too with shows as they are coming out.
Well, yeah, we've talked about that I won't watch anything that's still on the air.
Yeah, no, because it's too frustrating.
Yeah.
But then I've been caught up in things like The Leftovers and Walking Dead and now Game of Thrones, where now I have to wait for each episode.
Mm-hmm.
And it's frustrating.
Yeah. Scandal. September 25th. Actually can't wait.
What is that?
it's one of those shows to where I watched the first one with my wife and I'm going, yeah, whatever. And then after the show, I'm like, what the hell? Really? This is... Okay. Reader's Digest version of Scandal. Olivia Pope is known as a political fixer. You get caught up in a scandal, she fixes it and gets you out. Well, her issue is her and the President of the United States used to have a thing.
Hmm.
President of the United States is married. He still wants the fixer. The First Lady is now flirting with one of the governors, and the fixer has this whole team of ex-criminals, white-collar criminals, and whatever that can basically get you out of anything. I mean, literally, you're trapped in an icebox. They can get you out within a half hour or whatever, whatever the case may be. And the story just revolves around them, and then there's a bunch of other political shit goes on. It's nuts. Crazy.
Interesting.
And I like that House of Cards show, too.
Oh, that House of Cards is solid.
Yeah, it's solid. It's a solid show.
Don't make fun of our guest.
No, man. I feel persecuted over here. Want to make fun of that word choice, too, or we good?
No, for now we're good.
Okay, good. Let's check in. Persecuted, that's an okay word to say?
Sure.
Okay, great. Thanks. Now let's all stare awkwardly at each other.
Okay.
Warning. Awkward silence detected.
I wish we could make those violin pluck noises when we blinked.
Blink.
Blink. Blink. Blink. Blink.
Yeah. That'd be fun.
It'd work.
Blink, blink.
I'm sure the technology is available. We could install a little trigger on our eyelashes.
put I don't want to think about installing anything like on my eyelashes.
You're the one that was touching your eyes. The
well, yeah, no, like, I mean, see, I, look, anything I that's not it's... a contact lens, but implanting some like speaker in my eyelid sounds like a bad idea.
Well, you know, there's those fun. Weird like body mod things where people are getting things put in the whites of their eyes. And have you seen the bagel head thing? I don't understand.
What is that?
Look it up. It's maybe the fucking stupidest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. It's a body mod in which you just get a fucking needle jammed down into the skin of your forehead, and then it's filled up with saline solution until it's all swollen, and then someone comes up and pushes it so the middle goes in, and then it looks like you have a bagel. Please Google this. I am not making it up.
No, I mean, I believe you.
And then
I just don't see what the idea is behind that. Yeah.
And then there was like this whole group of people who were all getting their bagel heads and looking at each other and being like, oh, cute. And it was not cute. I mean, it looks like you broke your nose or you went through a windshield or something like that. I mean, I have broken my nose, and the swelling was very unpleasant, and I did not like it. And it makes your eyelids kind of heavy and weird. And so people – and there's a huge goddamn – fucking needle the length of your forehead and it fills up your forehead with saline, and then someone makes a poke in it, and then it's a bagel head, and then it goes away after like it.
Yeah, your body just absorbs it all.
Yeah, sure, because it's saline, but sure. Like you get to wear your bagel head around for
I wonder if it jiggles.
High stocks of the beholder, I guess.
But yeah, please Google this, because I'm not making it up.
No, totally. I just don't even know, because that's obviously not some sort of like tribal thing, or like I'm gonna look like a raccoon or an elephant because that's what I do in my body modification.
Sounds like a Jewish Klingon to me.
Well, yeah, that's what I was thinking. It's like, oh yeah, we're just, you know, it's Romulan. It's no big deal. You know, just hang out.
Yeah.
I wouldn't like the way it felt either. I
mean, oh no, yeah,
it was seems sort like of it would slashing be in uncomfortable.
Just like you have like a black eye all the time. Like, I mean, because I feel like it'd just be like heavy right here on your brow.
Yeah, not pleasant.
Like cavemen, maybe.
I don't really know, but brow. Like, there was a cute girl that got it done. Why would she do that?
Sounds like a tragedy to me.
It was very strange.
So it'd be a butter forehead, right?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. All right. Great. Got it. Nailed it.
Mm-hmm. Butter forehead.
Butter forehead. So. That's been going on, and apparently it's quite expensive to get the bagel head.
I would imagine.
Why would you do that?
I don't know. Why do people put crazy gauges on their septums?
Yeah, I guess I don't. Just because you don't understand why someone's not doing it. There are things that just genuinely seem stupid. I mean, there's things that you think, okay, sure. Like that person obviously just has a different aesthetic sensibility than I do, and then there's bagel head,
and like autoerotic asphyxiation, right?
Yeah, like what's that? Why? That just seems weird, and dumb. I'm judging. I judge that.
Okay, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah,
I judge a lot of things.
Yeah, I judge whether to make that turn. Is there a car coming? I'm judging.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, that's. Is that judgment or discernment, though?
Well, I guess we'd have to define our terms, wouldn't we?
We would.
Because, I mean, judging is just making an informed decision. Let me just take it back to philosophy class.
Sure.
How would you differentiate judgment and discerning?
I guess, to me, discernment is just being able to differentiate between one thing or another, and judgment seems more like...
Like have like an ethical, moral sort of standpoint on it, or
well, not even ethical or moral. Sometimes it's aesthetic, or it has to do with taste, or
so it's like objective versus subjective.
Yeah, maybe
would be the idea.
Yeah, like discernment seems like being able to differentiate between
like which way is up
things.
And down,
right?
Yeah.
And judgment is like up is good, down is bad.
Right.
Maybe I'm wrong about that, but...
No, I have absolutely no clue, but for the purposes of that conversation, that totally makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm down.
Attaching a value...
Stuttering, stammering, half-baked ideas.
Woo! Quality.
So really, that just ground that whole thing to a halt?
No, that was just... That was me. I was trying to summarize in two sentences the basic ideas of Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance, and I just couldn't do it.
Just didn't happen.
Nope.
Nope.
That's too bad.
Because that would have been really great.
I did give Jeff a copy of that.
Ah, and?
He said he would read it.
Ah.
I told him he didn't have to read it, but he had to put it in his saddlebag on his motorcycle when he was coming back through from Canada.
Cool.
I gave him my copy of Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance that I've had since high school.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
Yep. I said, you don't have to read it, but you have to put it on your bike.
Interesting.
Said, okay, I will, and I'll probably read it.
He should read it. It's good.
I enjoyed it.
I haven't read it.
I thought it had good quality. It was good.
Yeah.
Dylan's catching up on all the Stephen Kings I just finished, Mr. Mercedes and Dr. Sleep.
Mm-hmm.
They're pretty good.
I won't say you have to read it. I'm trying not to be that person anymore.
No, it's okay. Because I mean, that's a person.
I used to,
not a bad person.
No, but it bothers me on some people. Like when you say, oh, I haven't seen that or I haven't read that. And they're like, oh, you have got, it is so, what are you doing with your life?
Like Breaking Bad, the Sistine Chapel of television is right. Sold to me three times.
Right.
Oh, no, shut
three
up.
Different people use the exact same phrase. I was like, I hate this show already and I've not seen a goddamn episode.
Well, I hate them for saying that.
I know, right?
Fuck off with that. That's clearly Deadwood.
Right? And I can't get those idiots to watch that show.
Morons, then.
Cocksuckers, as they would say.
Asshats.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All those
Fuck
things.
Fuck those fuckers.
Yeah. Limberdicked cocksuckers.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
No, I'm just trying to be the person that's like, yeah, it's good. You should check it out.
Yeah, it's good. It's worthwhile.
I used to be the person, I used to keep copies, extra copies of A Confederacy of Dunces to press on people who had not read it.
Sure.
I thought everyone really needed to.
Certainly been guilty of stuff like that myself.
Yeah. Okay, well.
So, yeah. Polite recommendations rather than threats.
Yes.
More flies with honey and so forth.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm still... I feel like the jury's still out on that one. Or I hope it is, or I'm fucked, maybe is the thing I'm thinking here.
Well, we could do it. I mean, that's an easy experiment.
I live that experiment. And, I mean, I don't know, sometimes...
I mean, the actual literal experiment.
The literal experiment does not turn out that way. In fact, vinegar is very attractive to flies.
I knew you were going to know that. Somehow. Like, you would just be like, no, actually, I know.
Actually.org.
Yes. That's a real thing. I tried it out. Not what you thought, right?
Not what you thought.
Yes, I did happen to know that one.
If it was on BuzzFeed, it would be 6 things about honey and vinegar that you never knew.
And you won't believe what happened next.
You won't believe number 4.
That is, I can't stand that. This horse and this giraffe met on a field, and you won't believe what happened 30 seconds in.
Yeah.
I'm not watching it now, and I hate you because of that.
That's, you know who started doing that?
No.
Is Wimp.com.
Is it?
I used to love Wimp.com because they would find 5 videos from around the web every day. They'd put them up. The title would just be what it was. You just watch it, and they were always, they're like curated, so they're always good, interesting, something to recommend them. But they've started doing those clickbait titles.
Like, hate it.
Yeah, just and the first one that I actually watched was these people set up a hidden camera on their pool, and you won't believe what their dog does when they're not home. And then you watch the video, and if it had been dog has fun on waterfall. Then you're good.
Yeah.
But you watch the video, and somebody is clearly walking along the pool holding the camera. So it's clearly not a hidden camera,
right.
What they,
right.
You know. And somebody is clearly turning the waterfall on and off, and the dog, like, they're switching it from one waterfall to the other, and the dog is, like, ready to go down one, and it turns off, and then he jumps down the other one. It's a great video. It's really funny. But, yeah, it's not what they...
And I do believe it. Dogs like to have fun. Why wouldn't I believe that?
Yeah, exactly. I absolutely believe what that dog is doing because it looks great.
Yes, that's it. So, yeah, I fucking hate that. It makes me mad.
Yeah. Well, we hope we didn't make you mad, Frank. Thanks for tuning in again. Thanks to John Markheim for being our guest once again.
Thank you.
Steve, you're next, man.
Yep. We're going to go back through them all again because we know there's more stuff to talk about with everybody. And if you'd like to join the conversation, you can like our page on Facebook. That's Babu Radio. You can also follow us on Twitter at Radio Babu. Head over to iTunes, leave us a rate and a review. We'd really appreciate that. And most importantly, if you like the show, tell a friend. If you don't, tell your enemies. And I guess that'll just about do it. So until next time, remember to use your outside voices.
Fuck the mirror. Bye, Frank.